Look with me, if you would, from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 32. Based on our calendar, it's been just about that length of time, just about 40 days, not exactly, but pretty close, since we celebrated Christmas. So you see about how long it has been, time-wise, since the shepherds came to the manger that night when Jesus was born. Mary and Joseph had been adapting and going through all that they needed to go through. And we've been about that same length of time. I want you to notice not just exactly what they were doing, but a message of truth found in the reactions of two individuals, a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 32. And when the days of her, that is of Mary, purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they, Mary and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was going to live long enough to see the Lord's Christ, God's promised Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now this reads some of Simeon's response. Anna's response is a little later, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want you to see something in this passage of Scripture today that has to do with a great truth that simply stated can be all that Jesus is, He already is. No matter what we see or what we pass through, all that Jesus will ever be, He already is. He's not going to get any bigger, any better. He's already there today. Now, when I talk about this, you'll understand where I'm going with it. It's not as far-fetched as you'd think. Let me talk just a moment about what Mary was doing. You see, Mary was going into Jerusalem according to the law of Moses, when the days of her purification, they brought him, Jesus, because it was written that every male that openeth the womb shall be holy to the Lord. Now that expression, every male that openeth the womb, has reference to the firstborn male child in particular. Let me ask you to go with me over into the Old Testament just a moment and look at a couple of things. Look with me at Leviticus chapter 12. And I want us to read the first six verses. But I want you to see that this is the law of Moses, which has to do with what Mary was coming to do that day. The Lord spake unto Moses. Moses didn't come up with this idea. This was not some old man's idea of punishing a woman. This was God's statement. The Lord spake to Moses, "Speak ye unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days." And by the way, the unclean is because of the issue of blood. It's not a matter of being somehow second-class citizen, being something wrong. It is a matter of the presence of blood. And where there was a flow of blood, you remember the woman that came to Jesus who had an issue of blood and she was unclean. What it means is she could not go into the temple. She could not come to a worship. She could not handle that which was ceremonially clean in God's sight. 7 days she was unclean. According to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of the child's foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Then it goes on to say that if she bears a maid or a girl child, she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son, or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. Mary comes to make this offering. Now there's a lot of things we could go into, and I don't want to take all the time today. But just understand that she's coming because God said this is what she was supposed to do. The Lord being willing, I'm going to come back to this passage of Scripture tonight, and I'm going to look at four practical instructions to us, and we'll deal with one of those in Mary's situation. But I want you to notice that if we go also back into the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 20, you're going to see the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Alright, Jesus was Mary's firstborn son. So she was coming to make an offering for him. She was coming for her purify. She was coming according to the law of God. Now, Jesus had no sin within himself. He didn't need to be redeemed. And yet, he came as a man. He faced all things as a man. He came under the law. Everything was done. When the Pharisees would test him, when the Pharisees would tempt him, one thing they couldn't say was, "Well, your mama didn't do this. Your mama didn't follow the law." Galatians chapter 4, we find it says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God made him under the law, and he lived under the law. He fulfilled all that God said. But here's where I want you to notice with me something today. This is not just about the law. Jesus was a 40-year-old baby. A 40-day-old baby. Jesus was 40 days old. Most of you can remember what an infant looks like at the age of approximately a month. He was fairly small. He was incapable of physically doing a lot for himself. He was, like all babies, he was cute. But he still had to grow up. What I want you to see in the words of both Simeon and Anna is a lesson for us today. When they looked at Jesus, they didn't see what he was at that moment as a little baby. They saw what he was in God's divine plan and purpose. They saw that even as a little baby, about to be have an offering made for him under the law, even as that little baby, he already was the salvation of Israel. Even as a little baby, he already was the consolation of Israel. Even as a little baby, he was the one whom people look for. He would grow up. He would live 33 years on the earth. But even that day, they saw him as what he was. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. The Lamb, what? Slain from the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. He was born the Lamb of God. I heard Brother Woodrow Beasley, one of our older preachers, he's deceased now, but early in my ministry, I was blessed to attend a meeting up in Alabama where he was preaching, and he preached a sermon one night of that meeting, Mary Had a Little Lamb. All of us have remembered the little nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Mary had a little lamb. That little lamb was Jesus. And at 40 days old, he came in to the temple. But all that he would ever be, he already was in God's sight because he was as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan and purpose, and it would not fail. Look, God would have us to understand what Simeon saw. Mine eye, let me depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen this little baby. No, my eyes have seen what? Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He wasn't just a little Jewish baby. He was the salvation for all nations of people. God would redeem unto himself a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. And Jesus, even at 40 days old, was that little baby. Anna came later on, verses 36 through 38. She was a prophetess. She had been a widow of great age. And if you'll notice there in verse 38, she gave thanks and spake of him to them that looked for redemption in Israel. She saw not just a baby that came. She saw redemption in him. Folks, Simeon and Anna looked at what was in front of them, but by the Holy Spirit were blessed to see all that God was going to do in completion in that little baby. You see, all that Jesus was that day was all that He would ever need to be. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God that would always be for the salvation of His people. Well, where are you going with this, preacher? Well, let me ask you to notice some things with me. Jesus was, as the Lamb, the one who would be the sacrifice. All that He was that day is all that was ever going to need to be. Wasn't going to need to be more sacrifice for sin. Then said He, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all." I'm going to tell you, folks, there are a lot of people in the world today that look for the reestablishment of a whole set of sacrifices before Jesus comes back. There won't need to be. Men may establish sacrifices, but they won't be God's sacrifices, because what He was that one day as the Lamb of God that came, He was the one sacrifice for sin. And that day, when it was made, it would be the only sacrifice that would ever be needed for my sin, for your sin. When we see Jesus as He hung on the cross, that's the only sacrifice that would ever be necessary to set you and me apart, belonging unto God. All that He was then is all He'll ever need to be. There won't need to be anything else. You can look, He is the sufficient Lamb sacrificed for us. That little baby, the Lamb of God. He already is, right now, the righteous judge of all the earth. We think of a judge as somebody that sits on a bench and listens while lawyers argue a case and basically just conducts court. I'm going to tell you that's not the idea of what this judge was. He was the one who declared the rule. He was the one who spoke the determining word. He's the one who said what was right and what was true. And He was the one who judged on behalf of the fatherless and the widows and the needy. Oh, Jesus is going to be the judge when He comes back. I'll tell you, He is right now the judge of all the earth. And His word is true and right altogether. We see Him as the little baby that came. We will see Him when He comes back, and He will sit in judgment upon the ungodly. But His Word is the judge today. With that being the case, how do we react when we listen to His Word? Is it just something that a preacher reads? Is it just something that I read like I read the newspaper? Or is it to me the only word that is true and right? Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall never pass away. He is the judge now. He will not become the judge when He comes back. When He comes back, He'll be the judge, but because He's the judge now. All that He ever will be, He already is. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In Philippians, we find out that He is the name above every name. If He is the judge now, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Notice at the bottom down there that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus
is more.
But notice what it says. Every knee and every tongue of everything that's in heaven, everything in earth, and everything under the earth. Heaven itself declares Jesus to be Lord. The earth declares Jesus to be Lord. And those that have died and been buried and will be raised again will declare Jesus to be Lord. Now, do our knees bow before Him? Or do we walk in our pride and our arrogance? I'll take care of my life. No, Jesus already is the Lord of all the earth. He is now the intercessor on our behalf. He ever liveth to make intercessions for us. You see, He's the only one I need to go between me and God. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And my petitions go to God through Him. He won't just get me to God someday when the world's over with. He takes me to God right now every day. Ever living to make intercessions for me. He intercedes on my behalf because of His blood. He intercedes having paid the price for my sin. He intercedes on behalf of my needs. He knows what I need better than I know myself. He is all that He will ever be. At the right hand of the Father, He is right now. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Oh, He's going to come back as the King. I'll tell you right now, He already is the King. One of the reasons I say that is because we're told that we live in the kingdom of God. If there's a kingdom, there's already a king. When's He going to become the king? I'll tell you, He was the king when He was that little baby that 40 days old was carried into the temple. Why do you say that? Because if I understand the timing, it's a good possibility that it was after that time when the wise men came from the east. And they came wanting to know what? Where is He that was born King of the Jews? That little baby was already king. All that He'll ever be when He comes back, He was then. King of kings and Lord of lords. Do I obey the King? Do I serve the King? Do I submit myself to the King? Well, He'll come back as King. No, He is King already today. He's already the victor. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that in Him we are more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us. Well, don't look like the battle, the victory's been won yet. Wickedness is still in the world. Man's sin still runs rampant. This happens, that happens. We look around us and we think, oh, the world's out of control. No, He's already the victor. You see, that's what the resurrection and the ascension into heaven did. It assured us that the victory was won. And Jesus now holds the keys. He holds the control. He holds the authority over sin, over death, the grave, and over hell itself. Jesus is the victor. And in Him, no matter what we feel today, no matter how weak and frail we feel ourselves to be and how doubtful we may find ourselves to be, He already is the victor, and in Him we have victory over sin. We have victory over Satan, and we have victory over the world about us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, is it my faith? Is it because my faith is so strong? No, it's the one in whom my faith is placed, and that's Jesus Christ. He already is the victory. Then Simeon saw a little baby. Anna saw a little baby. But they saw the one hope that everyone was looking for. They saw the salvation that God had promised. They didn't see what it was. They saw all that He would be. And He already was that day when that little baby came into the temple. You see, folks, Jesus is not going to get bigger and better and more in control. All that He'll ever be, He is right now. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what? When you make that statement, all that He'll ever need to be, He already is. He won't need to be anything more than what He is right now. He's already everything you need. He's already your salvation. He's already your hope. He's already your Redeemer. He's already your King. What that says to me in the midst of a world of struggle and uncertainty is that Jesus is all I need in this life. The gospel song that we sing from time to time, the anthem, "Give Me Jesus." One of the lines in that song is, "You can have all this world. Give me Jesus." Because He's already all that's needed. He already is my salvation. Believe Him, trust in Him, follow Him. Rest in hope in Him. You don't need to look for another one. He already is all you need. He already is your King. Bow yourself before Him. Humble your heart in obedience and obey Him. He is your victor. Live in Him. Rejoice in Him. Serve in Him. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Because Jesus already is all He will ever need to be. May God help us, is my prayer.